Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, welcome to an FBI Friday on The Usual Suspects. Everybody present and accounted for, looking for a big show on the big show today. Nick, Barry, myself, looking forward to rock and roll on a Friday. Comedian of the Week, selected at approximately...
8:30?
Okay.
A repeat offender.
Have we had Mitch before?
We have.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. I looked through my notes and couldn't see any, so I was like, oh, well, let's do that, because he recorded an album here in Houston. So okay. Our Comedian of the Week, Mitch Hedberg, recorded his first album ever here in Houston at the Laugh Stop. One of the better one-liner comedians of all time. Really good joke writer. Pretty silly, funny guy. And a fun fact a lot of people don't know is that on that first album, you hear a bass guitar in the background. And the guy playing that bass guitar, his name is Chuck Savage, and he is a local musician and comedian. So it was recorded at the Laugh Stop, and it involved local, you know, obviously it was recorded here locally, but then it involved Chuck Savage on the bass. So I thought that's all a good Houston tie, and We'll get some professional comedy on here. So there we go. Mitch Hedberg.
About time we get some professional comedy on here. Damn it.
I agree with you.
All right. So let's get into this commute real quick.
Okay.
So you sent us a text.
Yeah.
Waze was letting you know you were going to be cutting it close.
I was. Busy morning. We're shooting the TV show today after this show. So scrambling more than normal.
And then I immediately, upon Nick and I both saying, no problem, we got this, take your time, then I'm thinking, oh, God, if he's in a hurry, that means, and I've already seen you drive, that means that you are going to amplify and magnify your ability to change lanes at 90 miles an hour diagonally,
yeah,
not signal,
yeah,
and have a tendency to get in a road rage incident or two because of people not cooperating with your...
I mean, some
hurried
of that,
tactics.
Some of that may have happened. Some of that probably happened. Some of that happened. That all that happened.
So we went from it might have, it could have, to it did.
It well, so yes, I was weaving in and out of traffic a little bit. There were, if I got paid per honk today, I could take the day off.
There was, so you're a honker.
There was a lot. Oh,
I am too. Lisa hates it.
About
I'm
every
a huge
about
honker.
Every 3 years, I have to get the air and the sound of my horn replaced. I just got it because it runs out. I run out of horn fluid.
That's a thing.
Yeah. It's totally a thing. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing. So, yeah, I honked a little bit on the way in, and then right when I got here at 610 and Westheimer, there is a tricky little turn there, where it's very clearly marked whose turn lane is what. So when you get through 610 and Westheimer and you're turning right on Westheimer, in the far right lane, it's right turn only. And then the second lane is right turn, or you can go straight. Okay?
But you have to go around that little median?
Nope.
Okay.
You can just turn. So right lane is right turn only. The second lane is right turn or go straight. And there's a white dotted line that separates the right lane from the second lane. And it's not a wide thing. It's like if you stayed in your lane, you should end up, if you're on the right lane, in the far right lane when you turn on Westheimer, and if you're in the second lane. So I'm in the second lane, and I stay to the line. Mm-hmm. And see, a lot of times people take that turn. They want to turn wide right there. And so this one guy, I guess, was going to do that. And I was in my lane, and I'm going, and we get up to the light at I guess it's, is it Sage?
That first light.
That first light on Westheimer from 610.
Post Oak,
is it Post Oak?
I think it's Post Oak.
Well, we get to that light, and he pulls up next to me, and I happen to glance over, and he's staring at me, and he's shaking his head. And it's not the day for me. So
you flicked his ass off, let's be honest.
Nope, I rolled my window down.
Oh.
And then he rolled his window down. And I said, what's the problem? And he goes, you almost hit me. And I was like, well, if I almost hit you, it's because you were in my lane and don't know how to drive. I was like, it was very clearly marked. There's a dotted line. You were in the far right lane. I was in the second lane. I stayed in my lane. That's your problem. And he goes, oh. That's all he said. He goes, oh. Sorry about that. Be safe. I was like, nope, you learn how to drive.
You couldn't just window let it go.
There's no way that.
You're not going to tell me to be safe, bro. I was in my lane. Like, you're not. I don't need a lecture at the end of this. Your dumbass can't drive. I don't need you telling me be safe. You read a manual. Learn how to drive.
That would have never happened to me. What? I would have definitely been cussed out. He would have never ended the conversation with me by saying, be safe. I've never had that luck.
Really?
Yeah, no, I don't have the same road rage as I had before, but like.
Yeah.
But like.
He told me, be safe. I said, nope, you learn how to drive. And I rolled my window up and the light turned green. And I went on about.
Did you have your hand on your piece?
That's what I was wondering. I thought you were going to come out guns blazing first and then talk later.
I mean, there was no reason to. Like, he was sitting in, like, if he would have opened his car door, I would have done it, but just sitting there yelling at each other through a window.
You bring up an interesting point, too, because it's not just in those lane situations. The one that I always struggle with, because on the exit that I get off on, when I turn right to go towards my neighborhood, it's a two lane. And the far right lane, people go into there's a Costco and there's a shopping center. Okay. So I always make sure after turning, I as quickly as possible get in that left lane so that I don't get someone that thinks I'm turning and then pulls out in front of me when I'm going straight and avoid a lot of accidents. The problem is everyone in that inside right lane, when they're turning right to go into the shopping center, bow out. Yeah. I hate that because then their front end starts coming right into my lane. And then if you honk, you're the a-hole.
Yeah.
But they're the one that's taking up two lanes.
Don't know how to drive.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. Did you just hit them?
And I honk. And then, of course, I get the look like I'm the a-hole.
Yeah. Next time, just hit them. Don't honk.
Well, based on what my car's been through, it's not going to do any worse. I should probably just start cashing in. I should just use my car as just like a tackling dummy and just start throwing it out there and start collecting checks.
Somebody said he was probably a blitzer.
Jeez.
It's going to be a good Friday if that's the first text to the show.
That's good.
I like that.
That's what I'd like to hear as well.
That's not bad at all.
So that's an encouraging thing. You're here. You made it on time.
Made it on time. Sorry about the false alarm.
No, but we were prepared.
Yep.
Waze is pretty accurate, though. About its ETA, it's pretty accurate.
I kind of treat it as a challenge.
You want to beat it. Like I said, 12:55. Yeah.
And I got here at 12:51. 12:50. Yeah. I look at weight, like any GPS that tells me my arrival time, I'm like, oh, no, we can beat that.
Well, you can swing and bang more now that you got a smaller car.
Yes, that's true.
I got two rock chips on the way to work today.
Really?
I was pissed off.
Was it from like a dump truck or something?
One of those big ass, like not a regular dump truck, like one of those like 18 wheelers with the extended like dump truck back. And they were like probably 100 yards ahead of me and a lane over to the left. And I was on the phone on the way here. And all of a sudden, it's like the first one comes and it was a big rock. And I'm looking at the whole windshield. And don't you hate that? I'm looking at the whole windshield like, I heard it. I know he got me. I can't see it. And I'm scanning. While I'm driving, I go, good, I don't think I got it. And then all of a sudden, like a mile and a half later, you kind of just look and go, dang it, there it is.
Yeah, I have a complete circle in mind from that. Actually, that wasn't a rock chip. I do have a rock chip. And look, being a road comic, driving everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't even worry about the windshield because I'm like, yeah, I'll just replace it every 3 years or 4 years or whatever because I know it's going to happen. But this one rock or this one crack that I have, I leaned on the glass to clean it.
And
that's what cracked it.
Oh, really?
It's in the corner. You can clearly go look at it. There is no rock chip that ever occurred on this crack. It was from me just pressing on it. And I thought, man, I probably won't get Honda to replace that. They're not going, because they're going to say, oh, no, that was from something else. Glass just doesn't do that. That's not true. But yeah, that one pissed me off more than just a rock, because at least a rock is like, well, I couldn't control that. But this one, I'm just leaning on it, and it cracked. I don't get it. It's weird.
These things happen.
Yeah.
You put a drink on top of the roof and you cramp up. And...
Are you going to go get it fixed or was it a, like a...
No, it's a little, it's just a little star right now. And the last one that I got...
Get that fixed though. They can drill that out.
I got a buddy that'll do it too.
Oh, yeah.
But the last one that I got, I didn't get fixed because I didn't see the line starting. Mm-hmm. So I've got two now that I got to get taken care of. So I should probably go in the next day or two before they actually do have the potential to run amok. Yeah.
You definitely need to go get your crack filled.
There's one for you, Nick. I'm not going to be. Yeah.
What happened?
You know exactly what happened.
I don't. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Just wait on the next set of Nick's best of berries. You're going to have your crack filled, and that's just the way that's going to go.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
So other than that, we got plenty to get to on today's show. In just a sec, Barry, I'll again fill you in on the comedian of the week. We also have got plenty of sports and other things to get to. And, of course, you can always reach us via that HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. And, of course, we're always checking Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. As there's lots to get to.
Yes.
Especially from that game last night in my hometown. And for me, most of it is around the game itself, not the game itself, because I was just annoyed.
With?
And by the way, I picked the Raptors to win the East. I went back and heard when we were talking about it, and I said the Bucks were a year away, and I didn't think they were going to come out and win the East.
But they didn't win the East.
I'm saying in the playoffs. We were talking about as the playoffs were rolling, we picked who was going to come out of the East.
Oh.
And I don't want to be right. It's one of the rare times I don't want to be right.
Can we say though? Yesterday you picked the Bucks.
I thought they would win last night. No,
you picked them to win the series.
Yeah, and
yesterday.
I thought they should win. Yeah, two out of three. Yep. Okay. So, I'm not feeling good.
Oh no!
But
well, I mean, you hedged your bet.
I was talking to my college roommate the other night or this morning, and I said, you know what? Here's the deal. If they win Game 6, they'll win the series.
The Raptors?
No, the Bucks.
Oh.
If the Bucks win in Toronto, they'll win the series because Game 7 in Milwaukee will be off the chain.
Right.
But I don't have
you're
a whole lot
now?
Of confidence. Yeah, I am very nervous. Yeah, I don't know if a banged up Kawhi can take over in the fourth quarter that.
Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah. There's plenty to get to.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't even remember who I picked.
Nick took the Warriors. Nick took the Bucks on the way back one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then yesterday, I don't remember.
I think he took the Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, we got plenty to get to. And
how's my Warriors losing pick looking?
Solid as a loose poop. In, like that chicken, like that chick in the elevator. So, all right.
Thanks.
Segment two is on the way as we just get started on hour number one of The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I like rice. Rice is great when you're hungry and you want 2,000 of something. All right. Yeah. My mom loves those applause breaks. Refried beans. I like refried beans. That's why I want to try fried beans, because maybe they're just as good and we're wasting time. I went to a pizzeria. I ordered a slice of pizza. The dude gave me the smallest slice possible. If the pizza was a pie chart for what people would do if they found $1 million, this dude gave me the donate to charity slice. I would like to exchange this for the keep it. I tried to walk into Target, but I missed. I think the entrance to Target should have people splattered all around. I was walking by a dry cleaner at 3 a.m. and the sign said, "Sorry, we're closed." You don't have to be sorry. It's 3 a.m. and you're a dry cleaner. It would be ridiculous for me to expect you to be open. I'm not going to walk in at 10 and say, "Hey, man, I walked by at 3. You guys were closed. Somebody owes me an apology."
Hey, there you go on an FYF Friday. Our comedian of the week, Mitch Hedberg. Barry gave you a little bit of a backstory, gave you a little already, but funny dude.
Yeah, Mitch Hedberg is one of the all-time greats, in my opinion, when it comes to not just the joke writing. I mean, like, one of my favorite jokes ever is that rice joke. That's why I opened with that clip, because that's so smart and funny and clever and all those things. But not only is it just the joke writing, but it's the delivery. And I love the fact that since he's so in the moment, he'll tell a joke, and if he doesn't like the joke, or if he says it and it just sounded dumb, he'll literally just say, that sounded stupid. Or it's now those moments are some of my favorite moments when he does stuff. But I did this because he had recorded his, I think one of his first comedy albums ever, if I'm not mistaken, was recorded here at the Laugh Stop Comedy Club in Houston, Texas. It was called Strategic Grill Locations. That was a joke. And this has happened now twice with Mitch Hedberg, where the title of his album was a joke that didn't make the cut of the album. So Strategic Grill Locations is a joke that he didn't even use on the album, but he still named the album that. That's just kind of how he was, though. But yeah, Chuck Savage, local musician and comedian, was the bass player on Strategic Grill Locations. And Mitch was a prolific writer, man. Now, I will say this about him. Funny dude, prolific writer. There are rumors that his roommate back in Florida talked exactly like that as well. And that Mitch used to not talk exactly like that. That he may have picked it up a little bit from his roommate,
that...
who was also a comedian and never made it.
Oh.
Like, if you talk to people in the biz, they know that Tony Woods was Dave Chappelle before Dave Chappelle was Dave Chappelle. And Dave Chappelle, Tony Woods is responsible, or deserves a lot of credit for making Dave Chappelle what he is. At least stand up wise, like, he used to give Chappelle rides home after gigs and all this. And when you listen to them talk, you think, man, he sounds just like Dave Chappelle. Ah, problem is, Dave Chappelle sounds like Tony Woods, but no one knows who Tony Woods is. So, kind of the same thing with Mitch Hedberg, but doesn't change the fact that he's not funny and didn't earn where he was and where the levels he achieved, because dude can write some funny ass jokes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, well, if you miss any of the clips today, but they're going to be 1:15, 2:15, 3:15, and of course, you can always go back on the podcast and catch up on what you missed. But we'll have clips of Mitch all day long, so that'll be part of the F in funny for this Friday on the F Yeah Friday segment of the show.
F is for fear.
For? Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
Found a snake today in the yard. I was testing the spring. It's time to run the sprinklers. It's been too long since it's rained. Mm-hmm. So if you guys haven't run your sprinkler system, or in Nick's case, if you haven't drug out the hose. And
yeah, mine runs regularly. For sure. On schedule.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's time to water. But I was out in the yard and found a copperhead. Gigantic. Probably at least 3 inches long.
I was going to say, yeah.
It was the
first picture you showed me, you had blown it up so that it looked intimidating.
I zoomed in.
And then when you showed me the actual shot.
Yeah, from that angle, you're like, oh,
yeah,
man.
That's a sizable problem.
That thing could be, yeah, that looks like it would be, you know, 12, 18 inches long. And then when you zoom out, and I'll tweet these pictures out. When you zoom out, it's not even as big as some of the weeds that are growing in the rocks I have there.
My chihuahua poops bigger than
that. Yeah, it's probably as long as, like, I wouldn't even say it's as long from the tip of your middle finger to the base of your palm. Maybe half of that.
The snake, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, both.
Just check.
Both. And but that's not the bad part, because, okay, it's a little baby copperhead. No big deal. I killed it. What the big deal is that copperheads have at least 2 and up to 15 babies at a time. So, one, there's another baby copperhead somewhere around my house. 2, there's a mama copperhead somewhere around my house. And I don't know where the rest of these snakes are.
And she's going around banging all the other snakes.
She's a slut, obviously.
Right.
She's a slut snake, and she's out here just banging snakes in the neighborhood and having all the babies at my house. Now, I say there's another one. There's at least one more baby. There could be 17 more babies in my yard somewhere, and I haven't seen them yet. So this is a real issue for me. I texted my exterminator guy, and he was like, yeah, sorry, dude, we don't do snakes. I'm like, really, Joe? And this is my time of need, and now you don't do snakes.
So then to Nick's theory, you may have a copra somewhere in your yard or two, which would be a copperhead and a cobra when you find them mating.
What on
you
earth
know, because they're not, is he talking it's not about? A purebred, and it could be like.
Okay, first of all, there's no cobras in the state of Texas.
I'm just going with the possibility of snakes mating with other snakes, same.
Now, I know the snake dorks and animal nerds are going to text me if I'm wrong, but I think the last time I checked, I read that there are three types of venomous snakes in Texas. It's the copperhead, the water moccasin, and there's a third, and I don't remember what it is, but it's definitely not a king cobra. Rattlesnake. That's what it is. Now, I might be grouping like water moccasin and copperhead might be considered similar. I don't think they are. Sometimes they can look similar because they're brownish and all that, but that's, I think, the three venomous snakes in Texas. Copperhead, water moccasin.
But they could be banging, and one of them might not be venomous.
No. No. So that's not how snakes work
at all. So you're going to be pretty busy with this over the weekend?
I mean, I have yard work to do.
You're not going on a snake hunt?
No. I mean, you guys know. I was like, what is that, a typewriter? That was loud. I usually leave snakes alone.
Smart move.
Yeah, well, because that means you have a rat problem usually. If you have snakes around your house, that usually means you have other critters. That's why they're there. They're eating whatever's around you. So if you have rat snakes, chances are you have mice or rats around your house. This I don't know. Now, I did find, when I was weed eating the ditch this past week, I found about a 4-foot snake skin that had molted and shed its skin. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that was. Probably a water moccasin because it was in the ditch. It's about time to panic a little bit. I don't like it, but I'm not going to go hunting for it.
You got your hard hat with the light on it that you can go looking all over under the crevices of the house. And
here's the problem is they like most snakes, you're not just going to see. Like this one, I got lucky. It was just sitting up there on the 2x4, basically, like that trims out my stuff. I don't know why it was there, but most of the time, you're not going to see them until it's too late. A lot of times. Like
people in our neighborhood,
their dogs die because they get bit by copperheads.
Sure. But and out in our neighborhood, they have all the different trails around the water. When I'm running, you see them sunbathing right on the edge by the water all the time. I'm like, I'm not getting anywhere near because some of these snakes are pretty large.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
At least Nora doesn't get involved, by the way.
What you mean?
Lisa will get involved in any of this.
Now, she would save the snake? Yep. What?
You know the skeeter eaters?
A poisonous snake, you know, and she wants to save
it. You know skeeter eaters? Those big bugs? They're like, they look like
kind of like a hawk?
Whatever they're called. She calls them skeeter eaters. Anything in the house bug-related, she wants me to catch it with like a plastic or a styrofoam cup and set it free outside.
Oh, we don't have a
catch. I'm like, oh, hell no. The minute her head's turned, I'm like, boom, get out of here.
We don't have catch and release in our house. Oh no, God. No.
It's everything.
Nope, can't do that. I can't do get upside. I can do that because that's cash back in my pocket. I can definitely do get upside, man. And you guys out there listening should definitely get on this get upside. Totally free to download to your phone. 100% free to use. There's no like fees or surcharges or anything like that. So when you get cash back, you keep all the cash back, all right? Now, look, here's the thing. You put in my promo code Barry, you're going to get extra savings on your first fill up through the GetUpside app. You're already getting up to like 25 cents a gallon. My wife got 30 cents when she used my promo code. You might get more, you might get a little less. It just depends. That's the beauty, though, of GetUpside is the cashback offers are always changing. If you don't like one, refresh it or find a different area to get gas, and maybe the offers there will be better than the area that you're currently in. And let's face it, there's some that could be up to 25 cents a gallon. There's some that may not be. But you know what? You have the right and the power to choose where you go and get your cash back from. That's why I love this app. And the same is true for the food. You can get up to 35% cash back on your meals, Wendy's, Burger King, Popeye's, Candelaria's Pizza, Cyclone Anaya's, all these places. And again, the cash back offers are going to vary. So find the best one for yourself in your area and go get it. And look, you don't have to tell the wife. This is she money. Just keep that in your account. That's money she don't know about, money she don't have to have. And you do what you want with it, whether it's, beers or golf or whatever it is. But it's your money, and you deserve to keep it. So download GetUpside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that cash back. Thank me later.
I hear this. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Hi, Reggie.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking time to go wherever you may be on this F Yeah Friday as we roll through all the different things that going on and have already taken place, like the game last night. Astros with a complete right in the middle of a really hot streak.
Man.
They've now lost two in a row, and I had a bad feeling just because everybody had hyped up that, what's his name, Giolito, the White Sox pitcher?
Giolotis or whatever?
Yeah, that he had, like, made some changes to his delivery, and then Blummer highlighted him, and I'm like, the Astros are probably going to come in overconfident because his ERA was like about seven over the Astros over the last couple years.
Well,
he
wasn't great last year, but his ERA this year is under four.
No, I'm saying, but
four.
Against the Astros, they were saying his ERA, yeah. The Astros had lit him up in the past. And so the overconfidence and the fact that this guy had worked some things out, he looked pretty sharp last night. And I thought Corbin Martin was going to pitch in the Red Sox series, and maybe he should have, because last night he just didn't have it.
Yeah, I did notice they were going over the rotations, and you said that Verlander wasn't going to face the Red Sox. I was like, oh, well, that's good that at least you get one game against the Red Sox.
Verlander's going to face them Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, this is the concern that you have when you call up prospects, and if you've been clamoring for Yordan Alvarez, two things. One, see Corbin Martin and Kyle Tucker. And two, just remember, you have the league leader in hits in left field already, so you don't need another left fielder. Now, if he plays first, whatever. But yeah, the Corbin Martin thing, third start now, and they've progressively gotten worse. And it's not a great sign because you really don't even have – now they have a little bit of film on him at the major league level to start trying to figure him out or tendencies or whatever. Not a great sign. I'm sure no reason to panic, but you could get 3-3 out of Colin McHugh at this point.
Yeah, and here's the other thing.
I mean, he's got a 5 ERA. He went 3.1 innings, gave up 3 earned runs. Hell, Colin McHugh could do that.
And essentially, even if you want to keep dabbling with the minors and bringing guys up, when you bring young arms up, the hitters are at bay for the first couple times anyway because they're trying to figure out what the pitcher has, the tendencies, and all those kind of things. And then when you add to that that the offense has been so prolific this season with the exception of the last game and a half, then you start looking at it and going, you know what? Even if he's just okay and the other team is trying to figure him out a little bit, your offense is probably more times than not going to put enough runs on the board to either give you the lead or keep you in the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no need to panic. Some guy called in the morning show this morning, was all over the Mad Bum rumors, and they need him, and then started offering up all these guys they need to trade. And then
I swear, I'm blocking anyone on Twitter that I see hitting the panic button. It's just the stupidest thing. You do understand that baseball goes through damn near the end of the year.
We are in 162 games.
Baseball doesn't stop until what, September?
October. That's why, you know, well, with the playoffs.
Yeah.
But yeah, early October, the season keeps going, regular season, yeah.
I mean, come on, man. If you're out there, if you tweeted last night something negative about the Astros, first of all, go delete that tweet and then maybe don't tweet for a while because that's just the dumbest take. There's no reason right now. A guy you just called up from the minors had a bad game. Wow. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought it? And a guy with a bad ERA has turned things around and had a good game and the Astros didn't score. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. Like, I don't.
Those people are freaking out.
Yeah, don't.
That this team
Please
has lost
don't.
Two in a row.
Please don't.
Smart people are looking at it going, they've won 15 of 19 in the last 19 games.
Yeah.
Any team in baseball would take that.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. The last series that they lost was the Twins series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I will say this. They should, with what the White Sox are and what they're all about this year, they should have gotten better than a split with them.
Sure.
But like you
they
said,
didn't lose the series.
They didn't lose the series.
Right? No, it wasn't home. That kind of sucks. But yeah, they haven't lost the series
been playing
in a while.
Great. Yeah. So I mean, look, let's see. Hopefully, Springer gets back in the lineup. Because again, the other thing that I noticed was, for no really apparent reason, he really shuffled up several positions again last night. He had Diaz at first.
Yeah.
He had Yuli at third.
Yeah, I think part of that is just to get guys rest early.
Kemp at second.
Especially when you've jumped out to this kind of lead and you don't have to tax everybody early on. It's probably a good thing.
I guess. I just don't like it. Almost to me, gave me the kind of feeling that he was looking past the White Sox, like this should be a chance to
he's
get
done
an easy
this before.
Dub.
I mean, he there was some surprises even when they played the Red Sox on the road. I was like, wow, that's kind of weird that you'd be playing this team and making those kind of decisions. But I don't think he worries about that. I think he trusts these guys no matter who they play.
No, you're right.
Now, I did find it interesting. There was a stat that they gave on the broadcast last night where through this many games last year or this many games in 2017, the year they won the World Series, they are one game worse record-wise than they were in 2017 when they were 34-16 in 2017 when they won the World Series. They were 33-17 going into last night's game. So on pace that the same to, for the same record, essentially, that the year they won the World Series. So again, if you're out there talking trades, slap yourself because it's a silly thing to do right now. This team is fine.
I was going to say, at some point, you were going to have someone punch themselves in the face.
Yeah,
if they were going negatively. Yeah.
And I got to revise my pick only for continuity purposes because I'm pretty sure that going into the season, I had the two wild card teams coming out of the East. So I'm going to stick with that. I know I said that it would be the Rays that would fade. I'm going to have to stick to my guns. So I'm going to go with you and say that there will
here,
be.
Why don't we flip flop? I'll take the Rays. You take the Indians. Because
after
we
I
were
convinced
talking,
you were like, damn.
You convinced me the other way yesterday. So we can flip flop, but I'd be just fine with that.
I don't even know if I want the. I don't even know if I want the Twins winning the Central. I think I'm going to stick. I don't remember who I had now. I'd have to go back and look. But whoever, I'm going to stick with what I had.
Okay.
At the beginning of the season.
We're not going to allow it, but you can.
No?
No, you can say what you're going to do, but Nick and I will be the judge and jury on that. So
damn
if
it.
We don't allow it, then you're just SOL.
Well, that's not good.
No, it's good for us.
Because
it creates fantastic fodder for later
in the
show.
I'm really good at picking games. See my Warriors pick for this year. Yep. Not making the conference finals. I'm good at this. I don't want to brag, but man.
You know, when the thunder rolls, as Garth said, I can do some things. So Astros and the Red Sox open up a weekend series at the Juice Box tonight. God, I hate that term that everybody uses.
The Juice Box?
Everybody uses it on TV news and sports.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, if you don't cover, even if you do, I hate it. But if you cover the Astros on a daily basis, I get it. But it's the same way where anchors start calling them J.D. Clowney.
Right.
Or D-Hop.
Right.
If you're an anchor that's never set foot on the practice fields or the field at NRG, don't be D-hopping me. DW4. You know, DW4, he's got some work to do at QB. You don't know your ass now, from a hole in the ground, and yet you're calling him like you know him like your best friend.
Now, who are you saying that to? Sports anchors or news anchors?
Both. But especially, but what I'm really referring to in this case is the news anchors.
Okay, so yes.
In that case, because in referring to people that have never stepped foot on the field.
Calls him
Nuno, he builds really. He's there every day. He's building relationships with these guys.
Yeah.
But like
if the weatherman does it, no. Not going
to
lie.
Yeah.
That.
Or the regular anchors who are, especially new to town.
I don't trust regular anchors.
You've been to town. Me neither. Especially at home with like Skeeter Eaters and things like that.
Yeah, I don't trust them.
No, but especially if you get an anchor that's new to town.
They're trying to fit in.
And all of a sudden, they're just like, the Texans in off-season workouts, and D-Hop looked fantastic today.
Well, it's just like when old people learn slang. Then they want to, they're like, oh, I can't wait to use this. I can't wait to use.
It's lit.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, you're 58. You shouldn't say lit.
Yeah. Unless it's like a barbecue pit or like a campfire.
I almost said it was like white people, because we're guilty of that. White people will take something and ruin it. Like Raise the Roof.
Mm-hmm.
White girls ruin Raise the Roof. That's a fact.
Cynthia Cooper didn't?
Well, you got a good point there. See? The WNBA might have ruined
Raise
the Roof.
They took that one and they ran, and the roof wasn't the ceiling.
White girls will run some stuff, though. Some stuff that's cool and hip. Damn. White girls like to run that stuff.
Damn
so
white girls.
I know. I don't trust white girls.
That's you blame them for twerking, too, I believe.
They ruined. White girls ruined twerking, for sure.
White girls ruined twerking, raised the roof.
White people ruined the Macarena.
Well, they exhausted it, yeah.
No, I have a whole list I made.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
you
I
put
have
some
a
thought
whole,
into
there's
this.
There's like, one. Oh, boy, there's like 70 things on the list. So, okay. Yeah, I could go through that list one day if you wanted to. I mean, like, right, NWA, all that stuff. okay, I went and checked. I did have the Indians winning the Central. So I'm going to have to say, I'm going to stick to my guns. The Twins are the team of the six that doesn't make it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now that's
I gotta stick with it. I'm gonna roll with it.
I guess. Don't want to be, you're taking lumps,
I don't want to be you flipping and flopping.
When you're taking more lumps than a camel, you might as well add another one, because that one is not going to look so good either. But, hey, more power to you.
Hey, whatever.
Makes Nick and I look better on a daily basis.
True.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. You want to join us? 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F Yeah Friday in the big city. Having some fun. Josephina, not involving you.
Isn't that creepy?
Yeah, it's creepy, and now everybody's doing it. They're doing it on ESPN. They're doing all this whole, this new filter on, is it Instagram or Snapchat, where they can make you a baby face?
Yeah. Oh, we still got to do the chick one.
Yeah, we forgot
we're doing
about that
today. We're going to do it for F Yeah Friday. F stands for female.
F stands for F that. You had 2 days to do it when I actually didn't have a lid
F
on.
F stands for pheromones.
No.
It's PH. By the way, I don't know if I cleaned this up or not, and my short-term memory is going the more I hit the pen, but if I didn't, coral snake is the other poisonous snake in this. Did I say it on air? I don't remember if I did.
I don't know, but I can breathe again, because at least we got it corrected.
Coral snake? I don't think you mentioned the coral snake.
Not on you!
There are 1,000 tech. As I predicted, if I did not get this 100% right, all the snake dorks would come out of the woodworks and correct me.
That's what I'm saying. It's
coral,
not that important.
Cottonmouth, copperhead, and rattlesnake. So those are the four.
A good percentage of them are 409ers, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Careful now.
Could be.
Don't attack.
I'm just saying they're familiar
You're in
with
a good
that.
Place right now with them.
That's true. I'm just
People
saying.
People keep saying that the copperhead in my yard, oh, I bet it was a brown snake. No, I know. Look. When you live where I live and all the wild ass animals that I have, you look these things up early on. When you have a 7-foot rat snake wrapped around the iron on your front door, yeah, you go and look these things up. When you have a 6-foot rat snake in your barbecue pit, these are things you look up so that you know what's poisonous and what's not. So I know that it's got the little Hershey Kisses on it. It's a copperhead. It had a yellow tail. It was a baby, you know, 4 or 5 inches long. I know what it was. Trust me, it's not a brown snake.
Okay.
Now, clear it up. Thank you. I feel better. Why are you laughing?
There was a lot of comments I could have made. And then,
about what, Joel? About my brown snake?
About, just, you know.
About my snake? What? Just make them. Get them
no,
all out.
No, I'm fine. I'm not
going to
do it.
Get all the dad jokes
no.
out.
No.
Get them
no.
out.
Nope.
What is it?
No, it's fine. Okay, so this game last night.
Yes.
Boy, Milwaukee looks done to me. I am so...
This is the third time you've said this about this team who is in the conference
finals. I just don't
finals.
Like the fact that here's the deal. And again, we always talk about from game to game, everybody thinks the world, the sky is falling, depending on which team loses.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I'll give Nick Nurse credit for is... This whole shift defensively, where he went to the 2-1-2 and had the defense just collapse in the middle to prevent Giannis from penetrating, has worked so well. But everybody says that Mike Budenholzer, yeah, no more garden talk snakes and everything like that. But Mike Budenholzer is supposed to be this great up and coming coach that he could combat that, and he was going to come up with the next wrinkle that would go back at Toronto. He hasn't done that. Milwaukee's offense looks ridiculously bad, and suddenly Toronto looks like head and shoulders the better team, the deeper team, the more talented team.
I mean, look, you can't score 17 points in a conference finals and expect to win the game.
17 points.
Yeah, Milwaukee had 17 points in the second quarter.
In the quarter, you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Quarter. You can't score 17 points in a quarter in a conference finals and expect to win
that's
that
what I'm
game.
Saying. This is a team, much like the Rockets, they shot the second most threes to the Rockets. They want to play up tempo. They want to get out on the break. They're not doing any of that. And when they get into their half-court offense, which Toronto's forcing them to do, it is so lethargically slow, and no one knows where to go, and it's all like ad-lib offense. And that's probably why they score 17 points in the second quarter. They look like they could not score if people gave them wide open looks right now.
I don't know that I'm writing them off. I feel like you're maybe hitting the panic button a little bit. I think, no, let me. So, because you're a fan of this team, and sometimes you you probably err on the side of you don't want to be a fan and be like, ah, they got this. Or so I don't think you should panic. Did it look great? No. Was it a blowout? No, it wasn't. Have they lost three in a row? Yes.
First time all year.
Yeah, that's the bad part. But I mean, Giannis talked about it when he was like, best team in the league. I was like, okay, well, hold on.
Yeah, see.
That may have been a slip up by saying you're the best team in the league. Best record in the league.
Bledsoe doesn't. I mean, they just signed him to a multi-year $18+ million deal, and he looks like he can't do anything. They can't make free throws. They're definitely not making threes. They're yanking all kinds of bad shots. And on the other end of the floor, you look at a Toronto team that has settled in defensively. Powell and Van Vliet are giving them fantastic minutes and being very productive. Even Ibaka has stepped up and Gasol a little bit. It wouldn't surprise me if Milwaukee wins on Saturday night, but it also wouldn't be surprised me if they just get the doors blown off, because I've said they're at least a year away. And I'm not like a super fan. For my hometown's sake and because I've always grown up, I want the Bucks. I would love to see them win in this series.
Sure.
But realistically, I look at them and I go, this team's got a lot of deficiencies that people didn't see when they won the first two games in the series. And here's the thing. Lopez is going to be a free agent. Middleton's a free agent. I think you overpaid for Bledsoe the way he's playing in this series.
Well, I mean, look, I think you're maybe panicking a little bit.
You know who panicked this morning? Stephen A. when he said there's only one superstar in this series. Kiss my ass. I mean, that I'm not going that far.
He was talking about
saying Giannis is not a star.
Giannis isn't a superstar.
Wow. Oh, he's delusional.
Yeah, that really pissed me off.
They must be desperate for clicks or something. There are plenty of reasons to think that this Milwaukee Bucks team can go and beat Toronto. They've beaten them twice already. Have they won on the road yet? No. Did they slip up and lose home court? Yes. But it's not that big of a deal. Should you be nervous? Yes,
for sure.
But I don't think that they go up and get their doors blown off. I mean, do I think that they're going to win? I don't know. That's tough because right now, I don't know. Kawhi is looking unstoppable. Like, even
he's
injured.
He's so smooth, too.
I just, that would worry me more than anything. And Giannis has to get back to being dominant.
He has to. And
he's
I don't know how
get
he
back
can
to
because
being
offensively,
more dominant.
And the stat that's mind-boggling is from 3 feet and in, he's shooting 65%. Mm-hmm. So basically almost a crapshoot 50-50, right? From outside of 3 feet and outside the paint, 19%.
Well,
that's a guy
that
all
though,
offseason
right?
has got to work on his face-up stuff. And so that's why I'm saying that to say until he does, I don't have this like light going on, you know, revelation that, hey, he's going to be able to knock down some jumpers and some mid-range, and they're going to be – they're lucky he made all three of his threes last night.
No, he was 2 for 3.
I thought he made his first three.
I think he was 2 for 3 last night. Giannis?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was 2 for 3.
Two for three from three? Okay, yeah. I thought he made all three. But regardless, I'll take that percentage. I still cringe every time he loads one up, and he did it in crunch time and made it. Unlike Bledsoe, who did the exact same, loaded up. He just didn't make it. He's awful.
Initially, most people thought that was a good signing. I mean, initially, $18 million or whatever
like
he's making.
You got him on the cheap a little bit.
Yeah, it looked like it wasn't a bad signing. He's just not performing.
Look, he made first team all defense this year. But again, this is just like Rocket fan who has concerns about Chris Paul going forward with the size of his contract and what he's got left in the tank. You can be a great regular season player, but your legacies and your reputation are all built on what you do in the playoffs. And Eric Bledsoe has been a no-show more than he has been a guy that has been a big key factor in Bucks victories in the playoffs. And that's something that they have to be concerned with.
Well, I mean, all it takes is one big game from him, and they're right back in the series. And, I mean, you look at the other side, and Kyle Lowry's kind of like that.
I was going to say, it essentially is the mirror image of Kyle Lowry.
He'll disappear for some time, and then he'll show up. And if you get a meaningful contribution from Bledsoe along with the rest of this team, I think there's no reason to.
But, Barry, you look at it. Okay, so we'll take.
Does it look bad? Yeah, because, look, they had a lead going into the fourth quarter, Milwaukee did.
And yep. Kawhi, at home.
Basically, Kawhi took over. And he was like, you know, I got this. Get on my back. And that's just going to happen sometimes when you're dealing with superstars.
He pulled two hardened step back sides that no one knew he had. And he pulled them out like it was nothing and dropped them right between the eyes. And just like that, 6 straight points. And that lead you're talking about was like, boom, gone. And you looked at it and you're like, he's so quiet, so smooth and yet such an assassin when he decides to turn it on. I think Charlie said he was coasting for the first three quarters. I wouldn't go that far, but he was basically letting the game come to him and everybody else. And in the fourth quarter, he just flipped a switch and it's like, bye.
Yeah. And can I be honest?
Mm-hmm.
I can't watch Kawhi Leonard now without thinking of his laugh.
His laugh is...
That is all I think about when I watch that guy. But that's it. Like, as soon as he makes a shot, I just, in my mind, I picture him laughing in his head. Just, I don't know. I'll never be able to shake that.
But it's part of the social awkwardness that people are really starting to embrace. They like
Kawhi.
It. Like,
if last you embrace night- it, then people will embrace it. That goes with anything. Like, if you're comfortable with how you are, people will embrace that, and he's starting to like, yeah, this is what I am.
You know me, and because of what I used to do, I'm very particular, and like, I want people that are interviewing players to ask the right questions.
Right.
And right, and he shuts down Kristen Ledlow now. Like, last night, she's like, Kawhi, you're one game away from the NBA Finals now. Have you thought about the impact when you're one game away of what it means in the NBA Finals? And he goes, I mean, I haven't even been in the locker room yet. So I haven't even thought about anything like that. So maybe later when I'm in the locker room, I might think about it. And he walked away. I was like, boom, I love that. See? It's fantastic.
He knows what he was doing.
Absolutely right. Yeah, so, all right. Great. So we can kick it around. Also, some Rockets news coming out that we might want to get to as well with involving the coaching staff. So if you haven't heard that, we'll bring that to you as well in hour number two of the show. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at besthotelrates.com. I'm telling you, folks, whether you're planning a family vacation when the kids get out of school or you travel a lot and you're looking for a better deal on hotels that you always stay at, all you got to do is go to besthotelrates.com because they've already negotiated with over 600,000 hotels worldwide and got you a better deal. They eliminate the middleman and all of the other fees and things from all the different major hotel corporations. They've already negotiated all that and they just pass the savings on to you. All you got to do, log on to besthotelrates.com. You put in your dates of travel and your destination and boom, just like that, you're going to see many of the hotels you probably either wanted to stay at or already have stayed at in the past, and yet you're going to see better rates. And then you can lock them in and realize that because of their customer service and their due diligence, they make sure that the hotels that they are offering to you are safe, they're clean, your reservations are always going to be backed up, so you don't have to worry about getting there and then all of a sudden saying they don't have a reservation for you. They take care of all the dirty work and all the extras. So all you do is go online, book it, and they'll take care of the rest. And it's as simple as in the name. besthotelrates.com. Check them out.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.